Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, Surreal Gerald Quinn, coming to you on election night. Can you imagine this time next year? What that's going to look like? I just thought about that. It's 2023, of course, 2024. That's going to be, another conversation for another day. We'll have an entire year to discuss that shit. But I'm happy to be with you on this Tuesday evening. Episode 929 of the Real Deal Podcast. Of course, we're going to look back at week number 9 of the NFL season. We are basically officially at halftime of the NFL season. And a lot of themes, of course, the title of this episode is going to be, "Hey, we need a quarterback." And a number of teams this week that would love to have, forget about the Mahomeses or Lamar Jacksons, they would love to have a Kirk Cousins or somebody of that ilk, to be perfectly honest with you. The way this quarterback market is looking in the NFL, just not a lot there. It's just not. It is the have and the absolute have-nots. And that middle class, as far as the quarterback goes, you know, you can complain about Dak Prescott all you want. Again, a lot of teams would take a Dak Prescott right now, a lot, trust me. So we'll talk about that. But we begin with, again, themes, NFL week 9, halftime. We will discuss what the NFL season could be looking like moving forward when we go into week 10. But we're going to begin with all the thoughts. Buffalo falls to Cincinnati 24-18 in a game that, frankly, was not as close as the score indicated would show. You never got the sense that Kansas City was not going to win this game. They were up, 21-10 at one point. Really controlled this game from the start. And they, pushed the Bills around the field physically. Bills, again, here's the bottom line about the Bills. Again, Cincinnati, we know who Cincinnati is. Now they have back-to-back wins over the 49ers and the Bills, and they are playing as well as any team in the league. So we know what Cincinnati is all about. They're going to be there, right? They're going to be there in January. Maybe I'm late to the party when it comes to the Buffalo Bills, and maybe I've given them too much respect. Considering how many games they've won over the last 3 or 4 regular seasons, they've been in a conference championship, they've been in the playoffs year in and year out, they have excellent players, well coached. But right now, as you look at the Buffalo Bills, and I have it here, they're just not on that top tier of NFL contenders. They're cut below right now. They are a upper echelon, middle of the pack team, right? So, they're not, they're not the Commanders. They're not, they're better than, say, a team, they're better than probably a Pittsburgh, even a team like that, something up to that ilk. But they're just not what they have been in the last couple of years as a legit Super Bowl contender, as a team that you think this team could possibly win the Super Bowl. Now, early in the season, a couple of weeks ago, yes, they looked, especially after the Miami game, they look like a team that could compete and play with anybody. But right now, and part of it is injuries, and part of it, again, to me, and I'll keep harping on this, is just they just have no identity from an offensive standpoint, and they have philosophical issues within that franchise. And I don't need to beat that horse again. It is what it is. I don't think McDermott will be the coach next year myself. But that's another story for the offseason. But right now, they're going to be fighting for their playoff lives without question. And they definitely could miss the playoffs. They just don't look, when you look at San Francisco, when you look at even San Francisco, when you look at Philadelphia, Kansas City, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Baltimore, those teams, the Bills just are not there right now. They're just not. And I don't see... Again, I don't see where this gets better. Maybe they can scratch out enough wins to make the playoffs. Again, very hard not to make the playoffs in the NFL in 2023 with the extra team. the extra round. So, you got to be bad not to make it. But again, the schedule is brutal. The schedule is brutal, and it's going to be difficult for them to make the playoffs, because the AFC, listen, looking at the AFC standings, I mean, you have, I'll pull up the standings now. There are, right now, if the season ended, Buffalo would be out the playoffs. Like, Cincinnati would barely be in. Okay, Cincinnati would be the seventh spot because of that slow start they got off to. They got off to like the 1-3 start. So the AFC is deep. I mean, you have three teams that have only two losses. Okay, you have, one, two, three, four, five teams who are at least two games above 500. Excuse me, four teams. My bad. I apologize. Four teams that are at least above two games above 500. And then, Houston is lurking at 4-4. The Chargers are lurking at 4-4. Jets are still in the mix. I don't have any faith in the Jets, but there's just a lot of quality teams in the AFC right now. And Buffalo is just kind of like, they look, again, they look like a team. They look like a franchise that needs just a re not rebuilding. You got Josh Allen, but just re they need to reload. They need to reset the table as far as what direction their franchise is actually going in. That's what they look like right now as a franchise. They kind of look like they just don't. Again, everybody has injuries. Everybody has injuries, but they, to me, and I've said this, and I'll continue to say this, to me, their issues are as much internal as they are on the field. And I don't see it improving. I don't see this thing getting better. I think this is who they are. I think they're headed towards a 10-7, 9-8 type deal. I can't even see them winning 11 games. Like, I don't know where, with their 5-4, like, I don't know where six more wins are coming from. Like, I don't see six wins. That they, like I said, if they're 10-7, they've done a hell of a job. They look like a 9-8 team, right? Especially with their schedule. That might be good enough to get them in the playoffs. Who knows? We don't, a lot of these teams are going to start knocking each other off. Especially when you get really into more of a divisional play. But right now, this team, like I said, they're not a contender. They're just not. And it's gotten to a point to where, the defense can no longer cover up for the offense. Because even defensively, they've started to fall off. They've fallen off a bit. They're not what they once were defensively over the past couple of years when they were a legit top three defense. They're just not. They right now are playing like a middle of the pack defense. You can move the ball on Buffalo. They still have some effective pass rushers at times, but you can run the ball on them. I mean, Joe Burrow threw the ball all over the place. So it's not this shutdown, lockdown defense that could make up for an inconsistent offense. There'll be, again, I'm kind of getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but it'll be a very interesting offseason in Buffalo. Very, with the direction of that franchise or in terms of where it's going. But right now, they're going to be fighting just, they're going to be fighting for their playoff lives. Like, I think their season probably will come down to, I'll be honest with you, I think they're probably going to have to win that division to make the playoffs. I don't think two teams are coming out the AFC East. I think that's going to come down to them or Miami as far as their playoff berth. Games of note, of course, you had the game in Frankfurt in Germany. Again, I understand you have to go, like, the NFL promotes this product worldwide, all over the world, but I don't like this type of game with this magnitude of the game to be overseas. Like, I just don't like it. This game, I mean, put this on a Monday night. I mean, these Monday night games, or put this on, hell, put, I don't, this could have been the Sunday, not the Sunday night game, but yeah, put this on a Monday night. Send San Diego to Jets to Frankfurt or whatever. Somebody else. I didn't really like this particular game to be in Germany, but whatever. Kansas City gets by Miami 21-14. The same story for Miami. They go up against a quality opponent and they look average to mediocre. Their three losses, they've been held to 20, 17, and 14, under 300 yards in this particular game. You know, we've stated what Miami is not. They're again, similar to Buffalo, they're just not a contender. They probably, you know, they'll probably be in the playoffs just strictly just based off that offense alone. And they're not going to be playing a top team every week. But I've just, I've, it's been a long time since I've seen this type of discrepancy of a team when they face upper echelon competition. It's been, I mean, this is, you just, I mean, you don't see this big a differential. Like they look against average to mediocre competition, they look all world from an offensive standpoint. Like they look like it's record setting. They look like the greatest offense, one of the greatest offenses ever. They run into, you know, some teams that actually can play defense, and they just it's really remarkable the stark difference in terms of output and yardage and all that stuff that you see in these games with Miami. It really is. I like. I don't. It's hard to explain. I mean, obviously the competition, the teams that they've lost to have been our playoff teams. I mean, or have been playoff teams. You know, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Philadelphia. Two of them have were in the Super Bowl last year. I get that those teams are high quality, high level teams, but even in one of those games, you would figure that they would be able to explode for, you know, 25 to 30 points, or just one of those games and have a game where they just put up a bunch of yardage. But that has not been the case whatsoever with Miami. Kansas City didn't even play well. Like Mahomes was okay in that game. They ran the ball okay. Like Kansas City basically beat them with their B minus C plus game. Like Kansas City won. It was winning ugly. You know, you fall down 21 nothing. Again, it's been the same pattern with Miami. They'll get down, make this fake comeback, and then, you know, fall short. Like they did that against Philadelphia, down 17-3, closed the tied the game at 17, and Philadelphia just says, enough of this, and wins going away. Buffalo game, you know, started out interesting, but then, you know, second half, it was a runaway. This game was similar to the Philadelphia game. You know, you fall behind, you play catch up, you get into within seven, and then you know, not able to course on that on the they did actually have the ball, but bad snap, and Kansas City was able to survive. Not a very well played game. Neither team was, I mean, obviously Miami didn't play well, but even in the victory, Kansas City didn't look great. And again, I'm going to always give Kansas City the benefit of the doubt. Like I just know, like I know how great that coach is. I know how great that quarterback is. My heart tells me that they are not what they were last year or in their previous or in years where they've won the Super Bowl, that they're a slight notch down. But I will never doubt that team. Never, because they know how to win big games. And more importantly, they are playing excellent defense. Kansas City is playing very good defense this year. So maybe their defense is good enough to make up for the fact that their offense is not, to, you know, lights out, because it hasn't been this year at all. So they are, we know they we detail how their receivers have gotten have had trouble getting open, and they're not a team that's going to run the ball down your throat. Listen, we've watched Andy Reid for 25 years, 24 years. He detests running the ball. He runs the ball because. Only because, you know, he'll have to at times. We understand that Andy Reid does not really want to run the football. But again, they are Kansas City. I'm not, and I will never, never doubt that team. As long as those two, as long as they had that coach and that quarterback. A team that looks, you know, looks like a team that is playing as well as anybody and could be, and right now is rolling, is the Baltimore Ravens. They absolutely annihilate Seattle 37-3. This game was as one-sided as you can get. You're talking about outgaining a team 515 to 151. That's like some division. That's like, it's like Alabama versus Appalachian State or something like that. It's like one of those college football differentials of a team that, just playing to get a paycheck, playing one of the big boys to get a paycheck. But it was that one-sided. Listen, we understand Seattle is a solid team, but they're not, and they will be competing for that division just based off the fact that, San Francisco has hit a snag, has hit a rough spot here. But so, we Seattle's not, is not real. But the bottom line is Baltimore has been destroying everybody. They have the best point differential in the NFL. Their last four wins, they're beating teams by an average of 20 points, which is like just doesn't happen in the NFL. And frankly, when I'm looking at this Baltimore team, this is the best that they've looked since they won the Super Bowl in 2012, to be honest with you. In terms of my belief in them, I didn't believe them in 2019. I'm sorry. I was on, they fell to Tennessee in the playoffs. I just didn't, I didn't trust that team. I didn't like everybody. I didn't, Lamar Jackson, that was his MVP year. He was, but again, they had no, had minimal playoff experience. That team just didn't do it for me. I just didn't trust them. And it proved to be, I was proven to be right as they went out in their first game in the divisional round against Tennessee. This team is different, and this team is a physical team. They defensively have been great all season long. They fixed that from the past couple of years. We know, all right, we've talked about detailed how Lamar Jackson looks like a completely different quarterback, and he should be in consideration. I think the MVP race right now, I would have Jalen Hurts one, probably Lamar Jackson two, to be honest with you. Mahomes will be up there, of course, but those would be my top two, Hurts and Lamar Jackson in the MVP race. But he looks like a completely different quarterback. Now, again, Baltimore, there are certain teams that get judged based off just their postseasons. Baltimore, Kansas City, of course, Philadelphia. The Ravens are Buffalo. The Ravens are in that category as well. It doesn't, Ravens could go 16, 17, and well, they can go 15-2, right? Home field, Lamar MVP. No one's going to take them serious until Lamar goes out there and performs, and this offense goes out there and does it in the postseason. Now, again, this is not the same type of offense they've ran in the past couple of years where they failed in the postseason. This offense is a little bit different. They've made tweaks, and bottom line is Lamar. They still want to run the ball down your throats. They still want to play with a level of sense of physicality. But Lamar Jackson is a completely different player. But he's going to have to, of course, show that in the postseason. And I like the way your defense is playing. It's hard pressed for me to think that this team is not in at minimum in the AFC Championship. Now, again, I could, end up being dead wrong because maybe they run into Seattle, excuse me. Maybe they run into Cincinnati in the divisional round, which, and now, Cincinnati, we know what Cincinnati is. But I think this team will be in the AFC Championship myself. And they are, we'll talk about it later on. They are amongst the teams that can absolutely go to and win the Super Bowl. Like I said, they look tremendous right now. They're beating quality teams. They're not making some of the dumb mistakes that they've made in the last couple of years with play calling. They look like they have an identity. And more importantly, again, they have, that defense has been fixed. They've completely fixed that defense. And last year, their defense couldn't stop anybody in a big spot. It just couldn't. You didn't trust their defense at all. Everybody talked about Lamar Jackson, this, Lamar Jackson, that. Like, no, their defense is just not there right now. That's not a Raven. That is not a vintage Raven defense. And they won't go anywhere with that defense. And they have complete, like I said, they are playing lights out defense right now and have, of course, one of the best home fields, when they're playing, when they're right, have one of the best home fields in the league. And they've returned to that. And again, you can just look at how they're playing, look at what they're doing to these teams. The NFL, you don't see too many Two score games in the NFL. Most of these games in the NFL are close down to the wild fourth quarter games. Not with the Ravens. Like the Ravens have spanked, Cleveland, Detroit, destroyed Detroit, and now Seattle. Which makes the Cincinnati, which makes, Cincinnati look that much more dangerous because they barely got by Cincinnati. And they caught Cincinnati at a good time with Cincinnati when Burrow was not healthy. So that lets you know how good Cincinnati is, the fact that they were able to really push Baltimore to the limit. And I think that, again, that division will come down to that Cincinnati Baltimore game in December, late December. I think that division will come down to that. And I think both of those teams are going to the playoffs. The question is, in the AFC North, will three make it to the playoffs? I think Baltimore and Cincinnati are going to the playoffs. There's no question in my mind. If both those quarterbacks stay healthy, that those two teams will be in the playoffs. But right now, Baltimore playing as well as any team in the sport. Game of the week, even though it had featured 20 penalties, it still was a very good game. We have been let down by some of these games that were hyped up with Miami and San Francisco, Dallas earlier this season with Miami, Philadelphia. But this one actually kind of lived up to the billing as far as entertainment and going down to the wire. Philadelphia was able to get by Dallas 28-23, despite the fact that Dak Prescott without question, played his best game of the season, probably one of his best games in a couple of years, to be honest with you. He frankly outplayed Jalen Hurts. He's 29 for 44 for 374 with three touchdowns. But here we go with the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys actually, I thought, outplayed Philadelphia on the field. Like physically, I thought they outplayed Philadelphia. They held the running game in check. Thought they did a relatively good job on Hurts. They outgained Philadelphia in this game. I really thought that, the pass rush started getting to Hurts a little bit. But here's the problem, and despite the fact that they fell behind 28-17, but here's the problem with Dallas. Situational football. And just stupidity. Here's their last few, not possessions. Here's their last few plays, the last four or five plays. False start, sack, incomplete pass, penalty, a Hail Mary that did not reach the end zone, despite the fact that they were at the Philadelphia 27-yard line. They were gift wrapped this game at the end by Philadelphia. Philadelphia played some of the dumbest football as far as penalties that you can ever play. Dallas was on there. Like, Dallas had no timeouts and had the ball at the Philadelphia, excuse me, at the they don't started their last drive at their own 14-yard line. Were able within a blink of an eye, they're on Philadelphia's side of the field. And had multiple plays to go out there and possibly win the game. But again, Dallas just can't. They can't get out of their own way. We'll come up with our Super Bowl list. They're not on it as a team that can win a Super Bowl. And the thing that would piss me off if I were a Dallas fan, I think Dallas, from the talents that we could play with and beat anybody. Like, I really do. I think they have excellent talent. But they just find a way to do dumb shit. And again, it is, and they are the polar opposite, the 180 of what the New England Patriots used to be in terms of the Patriots not beating themselves, allowing you to make mistakes to that will beat you, in terms of allowing you to make mistakes that will give them the game. The Dallas Cowboys are the polar opposite of that. They're going to find a way to do something. I mean, even again, this wasn't a game to knock Dax out, but you got to know where you are on the field on that 2-point conversion that would have cut the lead to within a field goal. So you get that, you're driving, you kick a field goal to tie the game, go send it to overtime. It's 28-25 instead of 28-23. It's a little stuff. It's the little things that accumulate and will have you out the first round of the playoffs, or will have you sitting at home in general. Now, I don't think that would be the case with Dallas. I think Dallas probably will be a playoff team. They're not that many quality teams in the AFC, as is similar. They're not that many quality teams in the AFC, as is the case in the AFC. But I can't take this team serious as a Super Bowl contender with just as many mental mistakes that they make, especially in these big games. They're not they're, these big games. The room for error is small. You're playing a team that's just as good, if not better than you. You just can't, you can't have these just play calling, such a bad situational football. Now, both teams made a lot of mistakes as far as penalties. I mean, this game, they both got 10. They both got 10 penalties. There were 20 penalties in this game altogether. And again, I don't think Philadelphia didn't play anywhere near this A game. Philadelphia probably played this B minus, similar to Kansas City. They probably played that B minus game in that game, or B. Considering it's a, I'll give the fact, give them the benefit of the doubt that it was a divisional rival. They know you, but Philadelphia didn't play well in this game. They made enough plays. They made enough plays, and didn't have like the critical mistake. So, I don't trust Dallas. I never have, since Jerry Jones got rid of Jimmy Johnson, and frankly, never will. Like I just they are who they are. Now this look 2.5 games is not insurmountable at this point, but it's going to be pretty. It's going to be a pretty steep climb for Dallas to win the division. Being basically 2.5 games and one down in terms of a head-to-head. Philadelphia has a the road to the Super Bowl will more than likely go through Philadelphia. So this was a big game from that standpoint. Again, you wasted a Dak Prescott performance, but again, Dallas has nobody to blame but themselves from that standpoint. Who won the week? CJ Stroud, rookie quarterback who is on his way to having one of the great rookie quarterback seasons of in NFL history. And I'm not, that's not hyperbole. Like you look at his numbers, Houston is in the hunt to make the playoffs. And that, this year, he right now he stands at 14 touchdowns, one interception. This past game against Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay has a very good defense. It's not Tampa Bay is not, I mean, we know Tampa Bay isn't fun to watch offensively, but defensively they're solid. 470 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Like I said, he might as well give him the offensive rookie of the year right now. He'll probably end up, I mean, he probably has a chance, an outside chance probably to make the Pro Bowl. Enough guys sit out to where he probably will be invited anyway. He, again, this franchise was dead in the water before they drafted him. This was one of the worst run franchises in the league, easily bottom five. And he basically has single-handedly resurrected this franchise and given them some hope. I mean, they have hope at least, as bad as they are run, because he's been that great this season. And I without question, he won the week. It's gonna be interesting to see if they're capable of even putting nice pieces around them, because they are such a miserably run franchise. They are a horrible franchise, but they got it right with him. So, yeah, I gotta give him credit from that standpoint, because he has been absolutely lights out. Great performance against Tampa Bay, and it'll be interesting to see if he can get them. If he can get them to the playoffs, they're right there in that division. I know Jacksonville is the class of that division. They're up 2 games on Jackson. They're up 2 games on Houston. But I meant to say they're right there for a playoff spot. Jacksonville more likely is going to win that division. But they will be right there challenging for a playoff spot. And again, this guy has single-handedly put that team made that team relevant as far as possibly making the playoffs. So we had a kind of like a round robin. This week, a lot of big games. You had Miami, Kansas City, Philadelphia played Dallas, Cincinnati, Buffalo. So you had a bunch of teams that were in action against perceived contenders or against playoff caliber teams, Baltimore against Seattle. They're about, I would say right now, as we look at, to the crystal ball of of the rest of the season in terms of who can win the Super Bowl right now. I think there are five teams, and three of them are in the AFC. I would say Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. Those are your three teams that can win the Super Bowl in the AFC. Philadelphia and San Francisco. That's the list. So if you hear like eight, nine, 10 teams, that's a bunch of bullshit. There's not eight, nine teams that can win the Super Bowl. You want to say eight, nine teams that can get to a conference championship? Okay, cool. But in terms of winning the Super Bowl, there's five teams. Miami's not on that list. Dallas is not on that list. Who else? Detroit is not on that list. Of course, we know Seattle's not on that list. No one in the AFC South. Somebody's going to have to win that division, but nobody is not even close to that. Jacksonville is not on that list. There are going to be some people that try for Jacksonville. They're not quite there yet. They don't have enough personnel yet. Not quite there. A year away. They're not there yet. They're close. A lot close. They are close, but I can't envision Jacksonville going to the Super Bowl. I just can't. I could be, listen, I could be dead wrong. I've been wrong before. I'd be dead wrong, but I don't envision Jacksonville to be a legit Super Bowl contender. Sorry, Jacksonville. I just don't. And of course, I told you about the Cowboys. Cowboys, they're the Cowboys. But this is the list. And, Mahomes, Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Burrow, those are probably four of the five, your five, top five MVP candidates. I would put Hurts and Jackson are one and two. Burrow is coming fast. Mahomes probably is would be third. I mean, matter of fact, let me look up the MVP odds right now. Now I'm actually curious on what are the MVP odds. Purdy is the only guy that's like that wouldn't belong. Of course, doesn't belong on that list. But the only guy that you have question marks about in regards to quarterbacks with the top teams MVP. So right now, VegasInsider.com, Mahomes is a favorite right now at +275. Hurts, and so it's Mahomes, Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Tua, just based off sheer numbers, is fourth. Burrow is fifth, but Burrow's coming fast. Those are your top five. Mahomes, Hurts, Jackson, Tua, and Burrow are your top five. It was updated November 2nd. Yeah, those are your top five right now as far as MVP odds. Myself, I would put Mahomes, Hurts, Tua, Burrow are your top four. Then this one. Mahomes, Hurts, Lamar Jackson, and Tua, and Burrow. But again, Burrow's coming fast. Burrow's coming fast. Myself, I would say I would give us lean towards Hurts right now. Like I don't think Mahomes has been brilliant. I'm not gonna lie. Mahomes has been good. I think Burrow. I would lean towards. I probably would lean towards. I would lean towards Hurts. It's close though. It's still. It will go down to. It was still wide open. Mahomes has started. His interceptions have picked up. He hasn't been good in the last couple games. Mahomes hasn't been good in the last two games. It's gonna come. I mean, it's gonna come down to the last. It's definitely like the last couple games per se. But if Philadelphia finishes something like they're 8-1 now, Philadelphia finishes like I don't think envision 16-1. They finish like 15-2. You'd be hard pressed. I have to give the Hurts if they finish with the best record or have just this 16-2. But again, it's not one guy has separated themselves from that standpoint. But getting back to the contender standpoint, like. Those guys are like four of the top quarterbacks in the league in terms of who they're contenders. So it's that like, you'll hear all this wide open shit about, oh, it's wide open. It's really not that one. The NFL is wild from week to week because of the lack of quarterbacks they are, and because of, like I said, the difference between the have and have nots. But when it comes to when in terms of winning a championship, We're really only a couple. There are only four or five teams that can win a championship. It's not as open as people would make it out to be honest with you. And if you don't have one of these guys, chances are, outside of San Francisco, you don't have a legit chance. You probably don't have a legit chance to win a title. Now, again, I'm sure teams are not going to be crazy about playing Miami in the playoffs because of how explosive that offense can be. But again, we've seen Miami against top tier competition and how that turns out. Stock up, stock down, stock up. The AFC North. Again, we talked about this division a little bit earlier. Excuse me, a little bit earlier in the season, and I was just wondering if can it keep up this pace? And is not only kept up this pace, has even increased the pace. You have all four teams that are not only over 500, but 2 games over 500, which that just doesn't happen in the NFL, especially with all the parity that we have in the league. But that AFC North is just absolutely loaded. Cleveland's defense, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Pittsburgh, playing with pride and playing hard. It's just a it's gonna be a fun division to watch down the stretch. That Pittsburgh Baltimore that Pittsburgh win over Baltimore looks even better now, the way Baltimore has played over the past few weeks. At the time, you kind of just said that, rivalry game, anything can happen. But yeah, you got to give Pittsburgh a lot of credit winning that game, the way Baltimore, considering how Baltimore has played and just considering how dominant Baltimore has been offensively over the past few weeks in their wins. But that division is going to be. It's gonna be a mad scramble, for that second spot, for that third spot. I think, like I said, I think Baltimore and Cincinnati will separate themselves with the and get and take two of those spots. I do believe that one of those teams, Cleveland or Pittsburgh, will get into the playoffs. I do believe, and you probably have to lean towards Cleveland because they have better overall personnel. But again, Pittsburgh coach. And culture, you lean towards Pittsburgh. But yeah, that division is going to be fun to watch. Stock down. No, I'm not bashing on Zach Wilson. It is not about that. I don't need any analysis. I'm not going to give a deep analysis on how terrible Zach Wilson is. The reason I have Zach Wilson up here is just the discourse of I'm down, stock down on the discourse of Zach Wilson. If I hear another reporter, another analyst, or somebody say how bad this guy is, I'm gonna lose my mind. Like, no shit. Like, water, yeah, and water is wet. We know Zach Wilson is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. What do you want the Jets to do? Like, realistically, has anybody watched the NFL in quarterbacking this year and how many terrible quarterbacks there are playing, not on rosters, playing. Starting this week 9 of the season, you had 7 rookies start in week 9. 7. And all their names is not CJ Stroud. We're talking about guys who should not be on the field. The state of quarterbacking is bad. I believe I touched on this in the podcast last year. How concerned I was. Me and Rob Sell talked about it, how concerned I was about the state of quarterbacking in the league, despite the fact of how much young talent you had. We talked, Herbert and Burrow and Lamar Jackson. There's a lot at the top. But that middle to lower class of quarterbacking is horrible in the NFL. I mean, it's dreadful. And that's without injuries. You get injuries, look out. Now, again, there have been a number of injuries. Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, just name a few. But even still, you got guys who are playing quarterback. You look up and you say, huh? Well, he's starting? He's starting. Like, guys who should barely be in the league playing quarterback. So I don't, again, I don't know what you want the Jets to do about Zach Wilson. Like that whole put anybody else in there, nah, that doesn't work that way. Just look at the league. All you have to do is look at the league to know that they're just no, they're barely any quarterbacks. Once you get past about 7 to 8, the pickings are slim. Like think about it. So you have what? Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. We go to the top of the heap right here. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, not in particular order. Jalen Hurts, Burrow, that's 4. Herbert, 5. Who else? What else I'm missing here? And then you go to that, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, I guess. In that, you want to say Brock Purdy? Again, I'm saying the pickings are slim. Like where are the court again? Where are the quarterbacks? Where? Tell me. Where are they at? No, I forgot Tua. Tua is the upper echelon. Tua is in that top. He's in he's in one of those top tiers. Like Tua is a legit top 8, 9 quarterback. He might even top 7 quarterback, to be honest with you. But they like that middle class of quarterbacks, again, they're about 10 to 15 teams. Again, I read an article. There could be 12 different starting quarterbacks next year. There could be 12 teams that move off their starting quarterback. 12. That is over a third of the league. 32 teams in the league. That's over a third of the quarterbacks could have teams that could have a different starting quarterback. And I'm telling you right now, there are going to be some teams reaching in the draft this year. There are not that many prospects. No, like I said, Caleb Williams, I think is legit. I'm not Bo Nix. I'm sorry. I'm not on or the Drake May. I'm not as high on those guys as a lot of people are. Spencer Rattler, like, okay. The pickings are slim in college this year. They're not that late. It's okay. There are going to be so many teams reaching for quarterbacks. You'll probably have 3 or 4 quarterbacks go in the first round when it probably only should be 1, maybe 2. But there are going to be some teams reaching, really reaching for that quarterback in terms of drafting a quarterback and just F up their franchises. So, I don't listen. Zach Wilson's horrible. I don't need countless hours of analysis telling me how bad Zach Wilson is. He was bad last year. I don't know what people expected this year when Rodgers got hurt. Like, yeah, he sucks. We get it. He can't play. Like when you lose a future Hall of Fame quarterback, there's no real replacement for him. And again, like when you're paying a guy what you're paying those types of guys, it's hard to almost impossible to have a decent backup. Decent good backups are making pretty good, are making good money. You can't afford two good quarterbacks as far as from a money standpoint. That's just not going to happen. If you have a franchise type of quarterback, your backup quarterback is going to be, near at the bottom of the barrel as far in terms of salary. You're not like you're at that point, you're looking for a guy that's a system fit, somebody that you trust. And that is where player and coaching comes in terms of in terms of development. We saw last year that saved Kansas City's ass against Jacksonville with their backup quarterback. That guy knew the system good enough and helped them win a playoff game. And certainly was not, I don't think he was one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league or backup quarterbacks in the league. Because you have Patrick Mahomes, so again, I don't know what you want the Jets to do with in terms of Zach Wilson. I just don't. I can't believe I'm defending Zach Wilson, but I'm not even defending his play. I'm just the whole idea of like seeming like you could just pick up a quarterback off the street and then and that's going to save your team. This is not going to happen. Real thoughts. A couple of things basketball related. First, of course, you had the death. One Bobby Knight at the age of 83. We know Bob Knight, of course, as one of the great coaches in the history of college basketball. He retired as the winningest coach way back about well over a decade ago, it's been even longer than that, from Texas Tech. He's been, of course, surpassed by a couple of coaches since then, likes of Roy Williams, Krzyzewski, Jim Boeheim. Listen, I hear things about Bob Knight in regards to his legacy, and says, well, you know, he has a complicated legacy. No, it's not. It's not complicated. I'm going to tell you why it's not complicated. Bob Knight, as a head coach, right, his track record as a head coach, his winning 3 championships, gold medal, Olympics, it's one of the great resumes of all time. That we can never question Bob Knight as a basketball coach, as far as understanding the game of basketball, as far as, you know, graduating his players and what have you. Bob Knight, and I don't like to speak ill of the dead, but the guy was an ass. Like, let's be honest, he was an asshole. Okay. And I don't like to speak ill of the dead. But you're talking about a guy who choked a player, who headbutted a player, who once punched a cop in Puerto Rico, assaulted a cop. Okay. Yeah. Like, this guy was not a good guy per se. This guy, he brought a bullwhip to a press conference. Think about that. Hey, it's on YouTube. Trust me, you don't believe me. It's actually on YouTube. He is, and if I had a son, I don't have kids, but if I did have a son, I would not want them to play for Bob Knight. Sorry. There are too many character flaws with Bob Knight. And there was the media really, and again, maybe just because there's a lack of social media and we don't have as much access now as we did back then, different time. But I don't think the media did the greatest job of holding him accountable to the level that they should have. I think Bob Knight falls alongside of a group of coaches, most of them white, that won a lot of games, but that were not just great people. And we kind of, their wins kind of washed over their sins as far as with them as in terms of their character. I would include him in the category with Woody Hayes. You do your research even on a guy like Adolph Rupp. You know, those guys, Bo Schembechler. You know, these are guys that just didn't have the greatest reputations as people. Now, like I said, Bob Knight and Woody Hayes and Adolph Rupp, you know, yeah, they won a ton of games, but you do some dig deep from a just a morale and character standpoint. Bob Knight treated the media like shit. Anytime you questioned him or had a journalistic type question, he would immediately turn into a bully. And just go look at the interview. He did an interview with Jeremy Schapp. This is when Jeremy Schapp was young. I mean, maybe Jeremy Schapp was in his mid-20s, early 30s, mid-20s. He was, you know, really making his way in the landscape, was trying to get out from under the shadow of the legendary Dick Schapp, who's a legendary media personality, a legendary just sports personality in general. Dick Schapp, you know, sports supporters, the whole nine. So Jeremy Schapp is out there, you know, just at this, you know, trying to get from under that. And he did a great interview with Bob Knight. He came at Bob Knight. It was respectful, but yet he did not back off. And you know how he got Bob Knight? When Bob Knight said, "You're not your father." That was checkmate. With Jeremy Schapp. That means your question, my question, these questions are so good, you don't want to answer them. All you can say is, "You're not your father." It'd be like getting in an argument with somebody and they say, "You're ugly." They don't have no retort. Or I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere, but that's how he treated the media. Like, no, you couldn't say anything about him. You couldn't question him. I get the sense that he had a bunch of yes people around him that would just kiss his ass. I kind of get that sense that I don't know. Again, I question how many friends that this dude really have, to be honest with you. And again, I know I'm speaking ill of the dead, but if you tell a complete story of Bob Knight, you have to tell everything. He is one of the greatest coaches of all time. Okay, he is one. It's not even a question. That man could, but he had talent, and he can go to, he could went toe to toe with any coach in the history of basketball. I watched him. He's a better coach than Dean Smith, and I'm a North Carolina guy. It pains me to say that, but he was a better coach than Dean Smith. He beat Dean Smith twice in big games, 81 championship and the 84 regional semifinal. That Carolina team in 84 was loaded. Probably Dean Smith's, from a talent standpoint, Dean Smith's best team, and an okay. They lost to an okay Indiana team that didn't even reach the Final Four. Okay. So the dude could coach his ass off. He could coach, like, he was a genius coach. He was. But he was one of those guys that just was specific to a certain era. Bob Knight could not, and this is why Krzyzewski is the GOAT for coaches in college basketball besides all the records, but Krzyzewski was able to evolve with the times, with the kids, with everything that was going on. Bob Knight could do that. He got to a certain point where Bob Knight, as the kids were, he wasn't going to go after certain recruits. Like, hey, I'm Indiana, you come to me. And it's like, nah, Bob, you actually have to do it. It's not like that anymore. That day is done. The kids don't care about tradition and what have, they're not coming there for you as much as they're coming there to actually make the NBA. And he couldn't make that transition, which is fine. He had done all he needed to do. Like, he had accomplished everything and then some. By the time that, when that time period came up, he had done everything from a basketball standpoint. But again, I think the lesson to be learned here is you have to tell the complete story. When you're talking about someone's life, it. Now I'm thinking about, and Kobe Bryant wasn't like, Kobe Bryant as a human being was not Bob Knight. Like people actually liked Kobe Bryant, players revered him and things of that nature. But Eagle Colorado is a part of Kobe Bryant's resume. It's part of, it is. It just is like that. There's no, now he got cleared of charges. He was cleared of charges, but that was a dark time in Kobe's life, and he was vulnerable about it and talked about it in the Showtime documentary that came out, about, it came out in, I think, 2015 or so. But it's a part of it. Like, you have to tell the complete picture of someone's legacy. That's, I think that's the lesson to me. Like, you can't just leave out this part or leave out that part. Or not, like, no, you have to tell the totality of someone when they leave this earth. It's just not, because you're not doing the story justice, the story of the person's life justice, if you just leave out one part and don't include this part, don't include that part. So, Bobby, again, I think with Bobby Knight, I got a call the way I see it. Like, this guy did a lot of bad things. Did a lot of bad things, not so much from in borderline on criminal, like choking a player. That's assault. Like, if you and I go, we go choke somebody out in the street, that could, I can go left. That probably will go left quickly, but we could possibly go to jail for that or get some, it'd be a severe consequence. That they chose press charges. So we can't pretend like, again, all those wins are great, but they don't wash away some of the negative aspects and some of the things that he did. They just don't. Victor Wembanyama, so NBA season is about a week old, and if you haven't got a chance to see Victor Wembanyama, you have to go watch if you're a basketball fan. You got, because you just appreciate just this 19-year-old wonder kid, just who's a freak of nature, is going to actually change the game. And I'm telling you right now, you better get the San Antonio Spurs now. You better get them now. It will not take long for them whatsoever to become championship contenders. It just won't. He is his this numbers don't even tell the story on him on type of season he's had so far. 19 points, about 8 rebounds, couple of blocks. He just has a just his ability to impact winning basketball games. Now excuse me, San Antonio has lost two straight at 3-4 now, but that roster is horrible. It's just a horrible roster. But again, they'll fix that roster. And again, you better get him right now. Here's what Kevin Durant said about Wembanyama. They played twice, and they San Antonio beat them both times. First time he had this basically like a 20-point comeback, and he was of course he was great in both games, especially that last Friday when he had like 38. Thursday or Friday, I think it was Friday. No, it was Thursday. He had like 38, which is his season career high. Here's what Durant said about him. He's his own player person. He would be much different than anybody who's ever played. That was part of it. The other part was he's different. He's long, athletic. He's mobile. He can shoot it. He's got skills. He's tough. Yeah, it was Thursday. He put up 38 and 10 when the Spurs took out the Suns last Thursday. When he raised up and shot the ball, it's like there's no way. This is Kevin Durant, who has probably like a 7'3" wingspan in his own mind, in his own right, and is over is 7 feet tall. There's no way I'm going to be close to this, so I just have to play hard and contest because you're going to foul him or he's going to make the shot. He misses, it's on him. This is Kevin Durant, okay, talking about a guy who's only played 7 games in his career. This is Kevin Durant, who is in his own right one of the greatest players of all time, somewhere in that 12 to 15 range. Two-time champion, gold medalist, has accomplished MVP, has accomplished everything, scoring titles, has accomplished everything you can name. That he's done it all, Kevin Durant. You can criticize him for some of the moves and things of that nature, bouncing going from franchise to franchise. But Kevin Durant, without question, is an all-time great. So for somebody of Kevin Durant's ilk to say the things that he said about a rookie, just lets you know all you need to know. Now, again, we live in an era where a lot of these guys know each other, share agents, branding companies, things of that nature. It is a friendly era from that standpoint. Party together, so on and so on. But whatever. That's the era it is. Era it that we're in. With that being said, that is for Kevin Durant to say that about a rookie. Just tells you all you need to know about this dude. It just tells you, really tells you all you need to know. That is not regular praise. That is like this guy is going to be a problem, a problem a type praise. And I'm telling you right now, he will be the best player in the league by his third year. I guarantee, if he stays healthy, I guarantee you'll be the third best. He will be the best player in the league by his third year, by year three. And it's not out of the possibility by that next year, following next season, he'll be the best player in the league, following the 2024, 2025 season. Like, that's on the table. That's absolutely on the table. I would say year three, following year three, but year two is on the table. Because like I said, he does stuff that impacts winning. That stuff that impacts winning. And again, they're going to get, they like I said, if you're going to get San Antonio, you better get them this year. You better get them now. That team will not look like, it won't remotely resemble this time next year. We'll be talking about them as playoff contenders, possibly fringe championship contenders. I think this thing is going to happen fast with them. I really do. I think it's going to be similar to Tim Duncan from that standpoint. One last thing, excellent, great game last night with the Celtics and Timberwolves. Timberwolves again giving another undefeated team, a previously undefeated team, their first loss. They did it to Denver last week. They get the Celtics this week. Get the Celtics last night. Great showdown with between Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum. Edwards getting the best of them. Listen, Edwards will be a top 10 player by the time this season ends. He's going to be on an All NBA team. And they've got it. They got to get Karl-Anthony Towns out of there. When Karl-Anthony Towns last night, he was like 8 points and 6 fouls. In order for Edwards to fulfill his full potential, I don't think Karl-Anthony Towns could be on the team. In order for, if you want to win at a high level, I don't think you can have Towns on that team. Edwards is special. Again, he went at Jason Tatum. He this guy has, when I mean zero, when you talk about zero fear, he is the epitome of that. Again, 20, 22, just turned 22. And I think this guy could, I'm really thinking this guy possibly could be an MVP in this league. I'm starting to believe that he has that type of ability, not just to be all NBA or a perennial all-star, but he could that he has the ability to eventually he could be a MVP caliber player in this league. That's how like that his ceiling, his upside, just the mentality that he has, the how hard he competes. He's gonna have a big year. I mean, through six games, averaging like 28 on 52% from the field. And it's his team. There's no like it's his team. It's, in Minnesota, again, I gotta get Karl-Anthony Towns out of there. This guy, like, that's just a B to be a the addition by subtraction. That's gonna wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I will see you next time. Have a great rest of your evening. So long.